Word of God. I'm glad, thank God, we've got a song of victory. Amen. And the new song we sang over on the other side will be the old, old song that we've sung all these years. Amen. You know, I wish Brother David started telling me when he's going to be here. I'd have planned to let him preach tonight. And I knew Brother Joel was coming. And I'm going to announce right now, Brother Gray will be preaching next Wednesday night for us in the service. And I'd have had Brother Gray to preach tonight. I knew he was coming. But I've been preaching where I've been preaching at now for the last several services. And I really felt led of God to finish up this passage, this particular part of the passage in tonight's service. And then we'll begin, the next time I preach out of 1 John, we'll begin with more or less where the chapter breaks. There's a division break and it begins on a new thought, a new train of thought. And we'll be preaching from there the next time. So if you'll turn to 1 John chapter number 2. 1 John chapter number 2. I didn't realize there was as much on the thought that I've been preaching on lately in this little book as what there is. But I've discovered that it is a much richer and a much deeper book than my mind and my heart can comprehend. I thank God for the help that I've received from it, the help that the Lord has given me. And I want to try my best to preach on through it. Amen. Not all at one time. I mean, not all straight without going anywhere else. I'm still working on the book of 1 Peter. And God helping me, I intend one of these days to go to Hosea and Jude. And I still want to finish up the book of Psalms. And if the Lord will ever give me liberty to do that, I'd like to finish up in the book of Psalms, if He'll let me do that. I heard a preacher said one time, said, well, you ought to never just take one book and preach right straight through it. Said that the preaching will get old to the people. Well, I don't know about that. If it does, there may be a problem, because there's just about everything you can preach out of, just about in every book in the Bible. And that's right. And I tell you, you'll never learn line upon line, precept upon precept, unless it's being preached line upon line. Amen. And precept upon precept. And so, it's not been an exciting segment in 1 John that I've been preaching from. And I don't expect that we'll pull any of these little lights out of the ceiling tonight either. And but nevertheless, I want to try to preach what God has laid on my heart. I think it's needed for the hour that we're living in. Because if you will take time, of course, many of you are not out in the meetings like Brother Hall is, and you don't hear some of the other preaching that I hear and see some of the going on. That if you think the Republicans and the Democrats are at one another's throat and are at odds with one another, you have not seen anything until you get out and see how preachers and churches are. And Baptist so-called saved people are at one another's throat and at odds with one another. And I can say right now off the cuff, brethren, that ought not be so. It's like Abraham said to Lot, we be brethren. And so I want to begin reading in verse number 8. I'll begin reading in verse 7. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which you had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past, and the true light now shineth. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. That doesn't cut one bit of slack. A man says he's in the light and hates his brother, is in darkness. Not just in darkness even until now. That's what that Bible says. And he that loveth his brother abideth in the light. Good verse on assurance. And there is none occasion of stumbling in him. He that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. Now may the Lord add his blessing to that. And let's pray and ask God's divine help. And I'll be like Liz Taylor told her eighth husband, I won't keep you long. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we love you. Thank you for the good singing tonight, the good spirit, the good time of fellowship. I pray, Lord, now that you'll divinely intervene in the preaching of the Word of God, you'd give the grace and, Lord, the power, the liberty that we need tonight to preach. I pray for the transformation of sinners into the kingdom of God. I pray for souls that are blinded, that their eyes might be opened to the glorious truth of the gospel. I pray, Lord, for your people. May we experience a heart-moving, old-fashioned revival that will want again turn our hearts unto Thee, cause us to love Jesus and love one another as we ought to. I pray you'll bless every family, every home that's represented in here tonight. And do give us a grace, again, I pray, Lord, that's needed and the liberty to preach the Word of God tonight. For without you, Father, I can do nothing. Make me a blessing. And we'll praise your name for it. In Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen. Thank you. And you may be seated. I've been preaching down through these verses that I just read in your hearing tonight. And tonight I want to close out this portion of the of 1 John. We call it Little John. And preach out of verse number 11 for just a little while. Notice there again he says, but he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and not only is in darkness, but he walketh in darkness. Not only does he walk in darkness, but he knoweth not whither he goeth. Amen. And he don't know where he's going because the darkness hath blinded his eyes. Amen. And I want to take that verse, and really I won't be long, I mean that, but I want to preach for what time God will let me tonight. On the thought, don't pass out. I want to preach on religious hatred. Amen. I've been preaching on loving our brothers as Christ loved the church. And I've been preaching on the wicked sin of hatred and how greater a sin that it is when those that claim to be brothers in Christ hate those that are truly born again children of God. And so I think that it's obvious here in this verse that the design that here is that John is still following, he's still making manifest that radical contrast between the men or between the merely formal professor and a real practical possessor of the Lord Jesus Christ. There are those in the church that only profess to know the Lord. Yep. The Bible said in works they deny Him. Amen. And in every work they're abominable. Yep. But there are those in the church that love the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And Brother John here is setting a great contrast between those that are truly born again Christians and those that just simply warm a pew. And he uses several words to identify each one. For instance, he talks about those that are saved. He uses the word light. And he uses the word love. And he uses the term abideth in the light and walketh in the light. And those that are just professors, he uses very strong terminology. He uses the word darkness. And they walk in darkness. And they know not where they go because their eyes have been blinded. Amen. But I think the strongest word that he uses to identify a false professor is that word hatred. Amen. And he's clear on that. He said, but he that hateth his brother not might be in darkness, he is in darkness. Amen. And if he says he loves his brother and hates him, he's in darkness even until now. And I want to preach on that tonight, on that religious hatred, and try to make a difference between those that are truly been to Calvary. And by the way, I want to say tonight, I always try to go to Calvary. Amen. I don't care what I'm preaching on, I always want to go to Calvary. Yes, sir.
Somebody said, why, Brother Hall? You know why. Because the preaching of the cross is the power of God unto salvation. The gospel of the Lord Jesus, the fact that He came into this world, died on the cross, went to a borrowed tomb, and rose again from the grave. Not by any other's power, but by His own power. By His own volition, by His own will, He got up out of the grave. He did what no other man could do. And I'm glad, thank God, the Bible says that because He lives, ye shall live also. We are saved by His death, as the songwriter says, and by His endless life, because He ever liveth to make intercession for us. I'm glad He is not like an earthly priest. We have a heavenly priest. We have a perfect God-man at the right hand of the Father. And He's there to make intercession for us. And He can be touched by the feeling of our infirmity. And I'll tell you, if you're truly saved, you will love Him. And you will live for Him. And you will walk in the light as He is in the light. And you will have fellowship with Him and with those that have been redeemed and have like precious faith as what you have. Absolutely. And John doesn't cut any corners here. He doesn't cut any corners here. It is the testing of profession that is in view here. The distinguishing of the true and living Christian.
Amen.
From that person that is just a nominal, lifeless Christian. You ever been around? Hey, that Bible said, Jesus said, I've come that you might have life.
Right.
I'm telling you, He is talking about spiritual life. And you can say what you want to say, but if we are possessors of spiritual life, that spiritual life somewhere, sooner or later, is going to manifest itself in you and I. You have got a spiritual being on the inside. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Thank God the Comforter has come to abide. The Holy Ghost dwells inside of every born-again child of God. And He was come so that He might glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you, that life that Christ has given us will be made manifest by the power of the Holy Ghost that lives in you. A lot of people quote this verse, but they leave off the last part of it. Said, now unto Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above anything that we might ever ask or think. And a lot of preachers leave off the rest of that verse. But the rest of that verse says, according to the power that worketh in us. Amen.
Yes,
I heard Brother Lee Davis this morning. Here's what Brother Lee Davis said. Talking about James Alexander Stewart. And he said, when men came to join that mission board with him, he set them down to question them, and he only asked them one simple question. And I thought, I've got to hear this. I have got to hear this. And he said the one question he asked every missionary was, does God answer your prayers? And I'm going to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, if Christ is in you, and there is a spiritual life dwelling in you, and you've been made spiritual, you are a child of God. He said, ask and you shall receive. He didn't say you might. He said, you shall receive. He said, knock and it shall be opened. Amen. Seek and you shall find. Call unto me and I'll answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. I'm telling you, if you're saved by the grace of God, that God will answer your prayer. And if you're saved and you have not, it is simply because you ask not. Amen. That's right. Now, stay right with me. For one to hate a member of the body of Christ is to regard him with contempt.
Amen.
To regard him with contempt. To have as little to do with him as possible. Anybody in here shun anybody else? Anybody ever? I'm sure neither one of these preachers in here, that nobody in their church has ever shunned them on Sunday morning when leaving the church or Sunday night. I'm telling you, you better be careful.
Amen.
By shunning people in the church that may reveal your attitude toward them. I wouldn't want anybody, I'm talking about I wouldn't want anybody to visit this church or any member of this church to leave here and ever accuse me that I met them face to face and did not speak to them.
Amen.
I'd be careful. Come on now. This ain't going to stay but just a few minutes. Amen. Have as little to do with them as possible. To speak ill of him. They'll speak ill of him. To desire his injury is to demonstrate that he has no love for him.
Amen.
And somebody that hates you, I've already said, they're out to injure you.
Amen.
You can believe this or not, but I believe Saul hated David.
Amen.
And his primary goal in life until God had him killed was that he might persecute David.
Amen.
And he did that because he hated him.
Amen.
And felt threatened by him. Amen. He felt threatened by the sweet psalmist of Israel. And his goal was to injure David and get rid of David so his son could sit on the throne. He knew quite well that God had already ordained David to sit on the throne. And Saul didn't want it that way. Saul was a very jealous man. He was a very jealous man. Now, but he who walks in the light and has none occasion of stumbling in him, get this carefully now, has nothing in himself which will cause him to act uncharitably toward his brother.
Amen.
If we're really saved, we ought to show charity.
Amen.
That is, love to one another. Oh, and I've said this so many times, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples. What? If you have love one for another. Now, I'm telling you, a man that is truly saved, there is nothing in that man that will cause him to act uncharitably toward his brother. The reason being is because, and I've said this, the Holy Ghost has been shed, the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us, and that love will manifest itself for the brotherhood and those that are around us in the body of Christ. Amen now. Come on, loosen up now. Y'all's having a good time singing. This is the last one on hate, so just come on, hang in there. We'll be done in a little while. Amen. I'm trying, Brother Jerome. And listen carefully. And he sees nothing in his brother that will cause him to take offense. Buddy, I'm telling you what, I'm just about to get sick of going places and hearing people say, so-and-so offended me. Well, I've heard church members say, I'm not going back down there anymore because I've been offended. You just don't know what some member of your church said about me or done to me, and I have been offended. Well, I've got news for you, friend. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing, N-O-T-H-I-N-G-N, nothing shall offend them. Friend, if you're where you ought to be with God and living where you ought to live for God and have a charitable heart of love in you, there is nothing there that ought to be offended by what somebody says. You used to have an old saying when I was a boy, sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me. Amen. Somebody told me on the phone the other day, said, guess you know that you made the famous website. I said, well, what about that? I said, what was said about me? They said, this one person said, well, that tall, ugly preacher from Kentucky said, I seen him give a thumbs up after the message. And I don't know whether I give a thumbs up or not. But I don't care whether he thinks I'm ugly or not. My wife thinks I'm the best looking thing since Elvis Presley. Now, he don't have to think I'm good looking.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
Although I know he's wrong and I'm right, but that don't make no difference to me. What I'm simply saying, you think I'm going to let something like that bother me? Friend, I'm going to tell you, when I read this Bible, and the Bible tells me that they accused our Lord falsely, that they smote him, that they bruised him, that they scourged him, that they spit on him, that they accused him of having the devil in him and casting out devils by the prince of devils. I tell you, there ought to be a thing anybody can say about you and I that we'd take offense to.
Didn't offend the Lord. When he was reviled, he reviled not again. When he was smitten, he didn't smite back. Now, he did show his strength over them and his power. When he said, "Whom seek ye?" And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth." He said, I'm he. They said, they with them words, they went away and fell down backwards. He was just simply saying, "Boys, you ain't got no power to do a thing. I'm going to let you have my life. In fact, when I die, I'm going to cry, 'Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do.'" I'm telling you, if we will pattern ourselves after the love of our Lord, amen, we'll learn to love our brothers and love the church and love those around us and even love our enemies as ourselves. Amen, that's right. Don't get offended when somebody calls you some kind of a little name or says something out of the way to you. Take it with a grain of salt and go on. It can't hurt you. You want me to tell you what they're doing, and I may say this again in a minute. But I learned a long time ago that people will envy you, and they think the only way they can climb the ladder and get up is by pulling you down. And they'll do their best through words that they think are words of wisdom, but really it's words of ignorance. And they'll do their best to criticize you and talk about you to pull you down to make them look good in the eyes of somebody else. When in reality, they may be looking good in somebody else's eyes that's about as stupid as they are, but not in the eyes of God, friend. You'll never get up pulling somebody else down. Never. It's taken me a long time to learn that. Amen. And I've been guilty of what I'm preaching on tonight.
Amen.
But if John Kerry can flip-flop and Hillary Clinton can flip-flop, I guess I can too.
Amen.
Only I call mine growing in grace, not flip-flopping.
Amen.
Getting a little wisdom about me. A little understanding about me. I've been preaching this Bible a while and studying this Bible a while, and I am starting to get a little bit of understanding about me. And I'm telling you, you'll get nowhere with the Lord when you harbor animosity and hatred in your heart towards somebody else. That Bible said if you hate your brother, you are in darkness even until now. And you walk in darkness. And you don't know where you're going. A lot of people, they don't know where they're going. Ask some of them. You going to heaven? Well, I hope so. I sat down there and called her today, and I had to stay a little late to pick up my medicine down there at the pharmacy, at the VA. And so she said, "Won't you get you a little bite to eat? You didn't eat no breakfast." So I went down and got what I liked about as well as anything else, 3 chicken wings.
Amen.
Love them chicken wings, boy.
Amen.
Come home, told her, and she said, "You should have got something good for you." I said, "What's wrong with chicken wings? Man, it's good. What's wrong with fried chicken?" She said, fried. What is wrong with fried chicken? I like mine fried. But I'm sitting here in a booth with my back to the wall. I like to stay against the wall, you know. And there's a black fella in the booth next to me with his head to me and a black lady sitting on the other side, and they're talking. And they're talking something about Moses and Elijah, and I'm not hearing all of it, just bits and pieces of it, you know, and just here and there. So this woman, she's trying to explain to that man who Moses and Elijah represented when they met on the Mount of Transfiguration with the Lord. I got done eating them chicken wings, and I had to walk by under the trash, and I just stopped, and I said, "Folks, I don't mean to interrupt your conversation." I said, "I couldn't help but hearing your conversation." And I said, "Y'all talking about Moses and Elijah and what they represent." I said, let me try to give you a little light. I said, "Have you ever considered maybe that Moses represents those that die in Christ and go to the grave because they died on Mount Nebo? But Elijah was taken up in a whirlwind. And he may represent those that are caught up in the rapture." And that woman said, "Oh, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. That's what it is, praise the Lord."
Yeah.
I thought we was going to have Cap Me and Boy up there in the cafeteria.
Amen.
Amen. Somebody said, you go to meet them black folks. If they had got on their feet, we'd have had a time in God. Amen. That's right, friend. You better believe it. Amen. That's right. Boy, that woman got all excited. Thank God. Somebody said, were they saved? Well, they talking the talk. I don't know if they walk the walk. I can't judge them. But they at least they sitting there talking about God.
Amen.
Now, stay right with me. The hatred mentioned in this verse is at once drawn out when the unregenerate contact the regenerate. In other words, when the lost come in contact with the saved, this hatred begins to be drawn out. And it is because their natures are contrary. We that are saved have a divine nature. They have a totally depraved nature. But thank God we have got a new nature to fight against that old nature. Amen. And our lifestyle and the way we live is totally opposite of the way they're living. I don't care if they are sitting on a pew. I don't care if they do testify. I don't care if they sing in the choir. I don't care if they preach in the pulpit. If they've never been regenerated by the grace of God, they are contrary to everything that we believe. Amen. That's right. Now, let me see here. Where am I at? The latter, that is the unregenerate. The regenerate, he's just a little odious. They just can't hardly take. They can't be taken by the unregenerate. In fact, our holiness will irritate them.
Amen.
And our holiness will condemn their sin.
Amen.
That's why lost folk don't like to be around saved folk. The separated life and the holy life that we live. Jesus said, be holy for I am holy. Come out amongst and be ye separate. And the life that we live condemns them. And if they find themselves in a false profession, sitting on a church pew somewhere, I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, they'll find it hard to leave, because they know the minute they do, they're going to reveal to everybody their true colors. And they will despise those that are holy in the Lord. Because you got something they ain't got.
That's right. Amen.
They don't have enough sense to realize all they'd have to do is humble themselves and pray. They could have the same thing you do. That's right. It consists of envy, which cannot bear another to exceed him or be more highly esteemed for gifts or graces than himself. That's right, envy.
Amen.
That's at the root of so many, envy, jealousy, and then along comes their what they call triplet, strife. And where envy and jealousy and strife is at, there is confusion in every evil work.
Amen.
Somebody say amen right there.
Amen.
Amen. And they'll envy you.
Amen.
Because you got a little more God on you than what they got. Amen. It's kind of like that Simon the sorcerer.
Amen.
Said, I've got some money here, let me buy it. Whoever I lay my hands on, they'll receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And Peter said, you're in the gall of bitterness. You thought the gift of God could be bought with money, and it can be bought with money.
Amen.
You know what he done? He envied what they had.
Amen.
Because he couldn't have it. Now, the one who hates will seek by means to establish his own reputation and ruin that of his brother. I've already said that. He'll try to establish his reputation and ruin his brother's. Every time, mark that down, I'm trying to hurry now. He'll go to one person, he'll go to another person, anybody that'll give him a hearing, reporting and giving account of every infirmity or everything that is wrong with the saved person. And he, the one which is hated, is the subject of all their discussions.
This is a malignant spirit that identifies them. It identifies them as a child of the devil.
Amen.
And fulfilling the desires of their evil hearts and evil intent.
Amen.
That's exactly what they'll do. Amen. Now, I've got about 3 points, 5 points, and three of them are just points, and that's all. But who hates? The Bible said there, he that hateth his brother.
Amen.
He that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth because the darkness hath blinded his eyes.
Amen.
Just like that bunch of sodomites at Lot's house.
Amen.
Still groping in darkness trying to get in. So full of sin.
Amen.
That they were blind and couldn't find the door.
Yes.
But so filled up with sin that they still labored to get in the door even
yes.
when they were blind.
Yes.
Now I'm telling you, a sinner that's blind will only sin more until his blinded eyes are opened and the glorious light of the gospel shines unto him.
Yes.
Will you let me back off and chat a little while? Oh, happy day, when God opened my blinded eyes and all the burdens in my heart was rolled away. Thanks be unto God when He took me to the fountain that's drawn with the blood from Emmanuel's veins and plunged me in and opened my blinded eyes. Hallelujah. And washed me of all my sin.
Woo!
Hallelujah to God. Saved ain't nothing the devil can do about it. That is right now. But who can hate? I hate to say this, but friends.
Amen.
Friends can hate you.
Right.
I think about David and Ahithophel.
Amen.
And they were friends.
That's right.
In fact, I've got scripture to prove it. In Psalm 41:9, David said, "Yea, mine own familiar friend."
Amen.
Talking about Ahithophel, his counselor.
Yeah.
He that went to the house of God with him. He that took sweet counsel with him. His friend. His own friend. Wasn't somebody he said, that was my enemy. He said, then I'd been able to bear it. But it was my friend. One of mine equal. Now I'm telling you, those that are generally the most intimate and closest with you, that call themselves your friends, will eventually be the ones that stab you in the back. I've seen it time and time again. There ain't no need you trying to change my mind. It's in the Bible and you ain't going to change my mind.
Amen.
Now that don't always happen. If they're a professor.
Amen.
If they're a possessor, that'll never happen.
Amen.
Amen. Now listen carefully. He said, in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, hath lifted up his heel against me.
Amen.
Ahithophel shows abominable behavior. His only return for David's kindness was ingratitude.
Amen.
Ingratitude. And he perverted the offices of hospitality.
Right.
David had fed him.
Amen.
He had sat down at David's. Have you ever heard the old saying, don't bite the hand that feeds you?
Amen.
That's exactly what Ahithophel did.
Amen.
He sat at David's table. He ate David's bread. He went to the house of God with David on the holy day. And yet it was him, his own familiar friend, the Bible says, that has risen up against me, is what David said. God help us. Buddy, I'm telling you, it's a sad day when friends, that's folks that call themselves your friend. But I'm telling you, you better be careful that crowd that calls you a friend. Not everybody that calls you a friend is your friend. Prove that here in just a minute.
Amen.
May I say that Ahithophel was deceiving. He was very deceptive.
Amen.
And I'm telling you, he was low.
Right.
When I say low, I'm not talking about lowly. I'm talking about low-life.
Amen.
He was deceptive. The word familiar there means to be peaceable or to be at peace with.
Amen.
Here's a guy that is peaceable. He's at peace with you. He's the least that you expect.
Amen.
He calls himself your friend. You call him your friend. And yet he's the very one that rose up against David. I'm talking about a man that's full of deceit.
Yeah.
And a man that's full of deceit, ladies and gentlemen, is full of the devil. And if he's full of the devil, he's full of hatred. Somebody can say amen right there.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen, preacher.
Thank you, Brother Jerome. Hallelujah.
Yes, sir.
He was deceiving. He was in darkness. Now get this. Not only was he in darkness, but darkness was in him.
Amen.
He was not only in darkness, but my text says, but he that hateth his brother is in darkness, then he walketh in darkness.
Right.
He's not only in darkness, but darkness is in him.
Amen.
That's right. Darkness was in him. It had blinded his eyes. Sin had complete dominion over him, dominating all the faculties of his soul. Enmity was in the heart, and enmity blinds judgment.
Amen.
It blinds judgment, causing the subject to be ignorant of himself. Ahithophel could not recognize his own sin.
Amen.
He couldn't recognize himself for what he was. I'm telling you, a man that is blinded by the gospel, no wonder the Bible said that there's coming a day when men will think they're doing good, who will rise up and murder you when they think they're doing right. And we're just about to get there. Brother Jerome said there's 9 people killed in the mall in Omaha, Nebraska today, 5 wounded. Then the guy turned the gun on himself and killed himself. I'm telling you, it's gone beyond sin. It is a possessed generation that we live in. I've never seen so many demon-possessed, devil-possessed people as there is in society today. Buddy, you better believe it's real. I'm telling you, a man that would barbecue his own child, a person that would go out and kill innocent people for no reason at all, he's got a problem, and it's because he is completely dominated by the devil. Amen. That's right. No judgment, ignorant of what it really himself is. To know he knew not the way of peace. And also was utterly unable to perceive that he is making his way toward the blackness of darkness forever.
Amen.
I'm telling you, a man that is in darkness and walks in darkness and is blind and hates his brother does not know himself and does not know where he is going.
Amen.
He knoweth not whither he goeth.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you where he's going. To the blackness of darkness, Jude said, forever. He's headed for hell, ladies and gentlemen. Somebody said, I don't like it. I didn't ask you to like it. God just told me to preach it. But I'm telling you, you cannot hate and be saved. That is a trait and a characteristic of the devil himself. It certainly doesn't come from God. Now, if you hate sin, that's a different story. You hate the devil all you want to hate him. Hate sin all you want to hate him. But if you hate a man that calls himself a brother, you better find a corner and examine yourself. Somebody said, well, I'm already in. Paul said, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Now I'm telling you, Brother David, Brother Joel, these preachers today, most of them, most of the camp meetings you go to, they're doing nothing but throwing rocks at one another and trying to destroy and tear down one another. And brother, I'm telling you, I've got some great problems with that.
Amen.
I've got real problems with that.
Amen.
I'm wondering about a lot of them.
Amen.
Brother Nolan said, he asked Aubrey Brown on the phone here tonight, said, Brother Brown, how many preachers do you know? He said, there's probably more. But how many preachers do you know that you could trust to preach a week in your pulpit? Said Brother Brown, thought a minute and said, probably not over 20. There's not many. Because,
yes,
buddy, they can be here today and way over here tomorrow.
Right. Amen.
And when I hear them consistently, they what I told Don Anderson one time. Brother Anderson said, preacher, I was with him in his camp meeting. He said, oh, tell me something, man. And there was some preachers there, and a thing had happened. When another preacher preaches up at cow pens now, and they were all fussing and arguing about that. Brother Don said, what do you do when you got that going on in the church and you got preachers here on both sides? I said, well, I said, here's exactly what I'd do. I said, if I didn't want two heavyweights to get together, I wouldn't put them in the ring.
Right.
Amen. I'd put them in the ring. Somebody said, oh, they're the big name preacher. I wouldn't give a flip who they are.
Amen.
I'd rather hear Job Bob sing, "Oh, how I love Jesus." See two men get up there and fight and quarrel and argue with one another, tear down. And the church will get nothing.
Right.
And I'm preaching this mostly as a warning to us, church.
Great preacher.
That we better learn. Amen. We better learn. That love now about a faith, hope, and charity, but the greatest of these is charity. God doesn't need faith and God doesn't need hope, but God is love. That's why it's the greatest one of the three, too.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Somebody said you said that the other night. I might say it again tonight. Now, stay right with me. He was not only deceiving and in darkness, but he was doomed. David called Ahithophel a familiar friend.
Amen.
For apparent friends to become open enemies of those who truly fear God is a terrible grief. A terrible grief.
Amen.
I'm talking about for a man that truly loves God and he's got a fellow over here that professes to know Christ, and all of a sudden they're total enemies.
Amen.
I'm not going to say who it was or who they were, but I saw preachers at Brother Allen's this year lifted up their nose and like I smelt like a stalled cow barn or something.
Amen.
And if they spoke to me, I had to corner them up to talk to them. And as far as I know, I've done absolutely nothing to them. Except forbid to let their God preach here.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you, Brother Johnson pastors down at Lawrence and Brother Joel pastors over at Shawneetown and I pastor here. And it is none of my business who they preach.
Amen.
But it's none of their business who I preach.
Amen.
And trouble happens when preachers heard a preacher preaching the other day and he said, "Well," he said, "some of these preachers preach on the invisible church." He says, "Not the invisible church I got a problem with. Our universal church." He said, "It's these universal pastors."
Right.
Whoa, universal pastors now.
That'll preach.
He's simply saying there's preachers out there that want to tell everybody else how it ought to be done when they ain't never done it themselves. Hallelujah. Now, for those who pretend to love us, to insinuate us, or to insinuate into our confidence and affections on purpose to injure us, is to touch us in our tenderest spot.
Amen.
Yet the Lord was treated the same way.
Amen.
What do you think hurt him the most? The outward enmity of the priests and the elders of Israel, or the deceptive inward hatred of Judas?
Amen.
And by the way, when Judas came that night in the garden, Jesus called him friend.
Amen.
Don't you think that ripped his heart out? Oh,
yes.
I'm telling you, for somebody that's been close to you a long time, then turn on you, it'll tear your heart alive. And sometimes it takes that wound a long time to mend and leave a scar. But that scar will never leave. It'll never leave. And some of you ain't been there long enough to even know what I'm talking about. Some of you ain't been in a position long enough to know what I'm talking about. But can you imagine Jesus? Here is a man. Somebody said, "Now, he knew he was the devil from the beginning." But can you imagine the trust he put in Judas? It was Judas that carried the bag.
Amen.
He had the moolah.
Amen.
Sure, the Lord knew he was going to betray him.
Amen.
But I'm telling you, you can see it coming a long way down the road in your own life and never really get prepared enough for it that it won't rip your heart out when it happens.
Right.
It'll tear your heart out, buddy.
That's right. Now,
I got a hooey. Job's friends, and I'm just going to mention this. Job in Job 19:19, he said, "All my inward friends abhorred me.
Amen.
And they whom I loved are turned against me.
Amen.
That word inward means those in deliberation, those are closest around him. They showed, those friends showed no sympathy to his affliction. They surpassed neglect and abhorred him. It wasn't just that they neglected him, they abhorred him. They tried to find fault and criticize him. They condemned him. And he was doing nothing but the will of God. And yet his own friends found fault. Rather than praying for him, they found fault and criticized him. Those that he loved and claimed they loved him. Boy, it's getting awful quiet now. They treated him as though he was a total stranger. 1 Peter 1:22 says, "Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren." That means without hypocrisy.
Amen.
With unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart, not just a little bit, fervently.
Right.
Boiling love. Yeah. We boil in prayer and we boil in love.
Really?
Now, I got to hurry. Stay right with me. I said friends will hate you. And I hate to be missing this. But family will hate you.
Amen.
Family will hate you.
Amen.
Said, "I've come not to send peace, but a sword upon the earth. To set at variance, people."
Amen.
"Those of your own household will become your enemies."
Amen.
That's what that Bible said. I didn't say that. Somebody said, "Do you have text to that? What are you going to do about David and Absalom?" You think David didn't love that boy? By the word of Joab, let him come back into the country, and he stood at the gate and stole the hearts of the people.
Amen.
And then in chapter 15 and verse 10 of 2 Samuel, Absalom sent spies throughout all the tribes of Israel, saying, "As soon as you hear the sound of the trumpet, then you shall say, Absalom reigneth in Hebron." He lied to David to do what he told David. He had to go keep a vow to get to Hebron. He lied to him. And then he stole the hearts of the people. And here's his own boy. And David has got to go out and turn his army of mighty men loose on his own rebellious son.
Amen.
And when he finally died, oh, you know the story. David said, "Absalom, Absalom, my son, would to God it had been me, Absalom." And he wept, "Sir, oh, I'm telling you, there's nothing that hurts anymore than to see your own child or your own father, your own mother, your own relative turn against you because of your love for the Lord Jesus Christ and become your enemy." But they'll do it. How do you think that ripped out David's heart? "Oh, Absalom, my son, my son." I'm going to be honest with you. I'd rather die tonight.
Amen.
I would rather die tonight as to have to live and see one of my children
Amen.
Turn on me.
Right.
Buddy, we have had a family like this. Now, we've not been perfect. And I'm going to tell you, for a big family,
Amen.
We've sure had some good times together.
Right.
And if any one of them, that I found out that they were just playing me for a fool and down in their heart they hated me, I'd rather be dead as to learn that.
Amen.
Somebody said, "Would you really, preacher?" Yes.
Amen.
I would. I've had 61 pretty good years.
Amen.
And the last 30 years of it's really been good.
Amen.
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 I'm going to tell you, I've seen some leave here. That it's ripped my heart out.
Amen.
But I'm going to tell you, you've got to have hide like a rhinoceros and heart like God, friend, to be in the ministry. Because you're not going to please everybody.
Yeah.
Paul said, if you please men, you'll not please God.
Amen.
And as much as I love them and love my own children, I'd rather please Jesus.
Amen.
And to please my own children, I'm not compromising for them.
Amen.
Amen. Yes, sir, preacher.
Amen.
May I say that false brethren can hate you.
Amen. 2
Corinthians chapter 11, when Paul was discussing all those perils that he'd been through in the ministry, he did not leave out perils of false brethren.
false brothers, phonies. $3 bills. Bill Clinton, $3 bills. Slick Willie money. Seen a thing the other day that said, now, Bill and Hillary said, now, Bill, you know they don't want Slick Willie anymore. They want Slick Hillary.
That's
Slick Hillary. Slick Hillary. I got news for you. I don't want either one of them.
Amen.
Or that Muslim running with them either.
Amen.
You can say amen. I don't care if you are a Democrat.
Amen.
There ain't one of them worth voting for. None. I'm going to tell you something else. Former allies will hate you. I just mentioned a while ago some men that I met at the camp. I won't say this. It totally shocked me when I walked up in the parking lot a few weeks ago and saw Wayne Henderson's car sitting out there in the parking lot. Because at least 17, 18 years ago. Was you here when he preached that meeting? Been at least 17 years ago then. There was in a camp meeting at Sturgis, and I went to the meeting over there, and I asked Brother Herbert, I said, you've got men, if you have, one can preach for me on Sunday morning, another preach for me on Sunday night. And he said, well, yeah. And I said, I may take one of them and ask him to sustain and preach revival. And Roger Williams preached on Sunday morning. And Wayne Henderson. And Wayne preached Sunday morning, Roger Williams preached Sunday night. I went back to the meeting on Monday on Labor Day and asked Brother Wayne Henderson if he'd stand and preach revival. He preached 3 weeks.
Amen.
But another preacher made a statement months later to Brother Henderson. It wasn't nothing that nobody said, it was just a statement he made. And because of something that me and Brother Henderson had discussed, they didn't have anything to do with the situation. He thought that I'd went and told that preacher some stuff. And it's taken us years to patch up that fellowship and make it what it ought to be. When I saw him sitting out there, I would have let him preach if it would have caused 15 heart attacks in Madisonville.
Amen.
You know what he told me? He said, Brother Gary, said the next time you're in Dalton on church night, why don't you come by and preach for me?
Amen.
I'm talking about 17. I'm talking about a 17-year-old problem.
Amen.
That's been healed.
Amen.
And made right.
Amen.
And don't tell me you cannot get right with somebody. You can get right. If two people are truly saved, if two people are right with God, they can get right with one another. I don't care who they are.
Yes, sir.
I don't care who they are. And I don't care what's been said and what's been done. If the Lord can suffer the offense that He did from those that were once His allies, surely. I mean, if the Lord can love Peter that said 3 times, I don't know him, and then cursed.
That's right. Amen.
Surely we can love folks.
Amen.
That said a few things about us.
Right.
Yes, sir.
Can you? Surely we can. Surely we've got a forgiving spirit. Tender-hearted toward one another, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you.
Amen.
And of course, this last one is no big secret. Your foes will definitely hate you.
Amen.
You see, and here's why I say, somebody said, well, they might just dislike you. No. Remember the other night what I said? There's no twilight in salvation. And there's no twilight between love and hate. You either love or you hate. If
you hate, you're in darkness. You walk in darkness. You abide in darkness.
Amen.
If you love, you're in light. You abide in the light. You walk in the light. It's His in the light. You have fellowship one with another.
Amen.
There's none occasion of stumbling in you.
Amen.
No twilight. No gray area.
Amen.
Now, how about anybody in here tonight? Got a problem with a brother or sister? I really believe I'd get that thing right.
Amen.
And I'm gonna tell you one. I'm gonna tell you the biggest reason why. I've said you told you this 100 times. You can't be wrong with your brother. Be right with God.
Amen.
Don't care who you are. Not even me. Not nobody.
Amen.
Now I can't help what he does, but I can help what I do about it. I cannot do a thing about his actions, but I can do a lot about my reactions.
Amen.
And that's what's killing us. It's not their actions. It's our reactions. It's our reaction. Let's stand together. I've said everything God wants me to say.